Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
We're going to deal with an aspect of what we've been dealing quite a bit with in our study through Acts right now, and it's the Holy Spirit. And this is, tonight the message is titled, Spirit Speak. Not Spirit Speak, it's Spirit Speak. You'll understand more as we get into it tonight, but what tonight's message is more than anything going to do is really help us understand the level with which we'll ever comprehend the person of God, the work of God, who we are in Christ, who we are as a person, who we are as a mother, as a father, as a pastor, as a farmer, as a banker. I mean, literally, we could go through with every single person in here. Each one of us has an identical identity. The identity of who we are is never understood unless we have a relationship with the architect, the creator. But even more so when you recognize that the spiritual death that the Garden of Eden ushered in removed our ability to have any sort of wisdom other than a carnal worldly wisdom, devoid of any spiritual inclination or insight. This tonight helps us recognize that even as a follower of Jesus Christ, the only wisdom, insight, and ability we have for true wisdom resides within the Holy Spirit's ability to speak, to give us the ability to understand what and who we are, and the only wisdom comes from the Father. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, 3 in 1. So as the Holy Spirit speaks and affirms truth to our life, who are we hearing from? The Father. As we go out and share the gospel with people and what Christ is and who he is, who's speaking? Jesus. It's the gospel, it's the good news. Tonight, I just pray that what this does, though, is help us understand that there is no leading apart from that. We cannot get in the mindset of believing, well, I'm going to go tell them this. I'm going to go and convince them to get saved. You know what? I think this would be a good idea to do it. It makes rational sense. So I'm going to go do it. People have asked me, this week alone, I've had, not even an understatement, 5 or 6 people who've asked me, what should I do in different specific circumstances? And I know it's got to be frustrating to you guys. I know some of you aren't even here that did it, but there's some here who have. I know it's got to be frustrating when I respond with, pray about it and let God lead you. Well, I want to know. You pray about it and let God lead you. It's a hard thing to hear. Why is it a hard thing to hear? It's a hard thing to hear because sometimes we struggle with ourselves believing that God's going to say or answer. Maybe it's not in the time frame that we want, but this is what I am more well aware of day by day. It's not about what I think. It's not about my wisdom, because if not, then I catch myself in nothing more than the Gibeonite deception. The Gibeonites were deceived because they tasted the provisions, but they left the most exclusive part of what God and everything that God ever calls us to do out of that equation, which was they tasted the provisions, which is the carnal part, which is the two-dimensional, but then they left out the three-dimensional part, but did not seek the Lord. We can taste the provisions, but we never, ever, ever better dare You want to taste the provisions, that's fine, but you better seek the Lord. I will even encourage you not to taste the provisions, but to seek the Lord before ever tasting the provisions. Amen? I would let tasting the provisions be nothing more than an affirmation of God's leading, to give you a greater ability to see what God's desire is, because if you're a follower of Christ, your desire should be to do nothing more than to walk within the context and the will of God's desire for your life, and always want to unequivocally be in the midst of that will. But it'll never happen if we are not in full communion with the Father in prayer, seeking His face, allowing Him to speak, where? Through His Word. This is what I do know. God doesn't just speak. He speaks so loudly sometimes we have to put our fingers in our ears to lower the volume of His voice. Anybody know that? See, God's not a God of confusion, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. I love the fact that even last night, on the night before going, you know, to this, at my age, you think you're pure insane, slept like a baby. Somebody else didn't, and others didn't. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, man, this is not my first rodeo in life, but I know the peace of God that in walking in the midst of His will is the sweetest of peace that you could ever imagine. Now, I guess maybe it might, I guess, I tell you, there might be an issue, there might be, if someone, that God desired someone to gift me a brand new jet, if God just so desired and somebody goes, listen, somebody's going to train you to do it, and they're going to pay for you to fly it whenever you decide to, and they're going to be there tomorrow, I probably wouldn't sleep. That'd be the little kid in me. But it wouldn't be because I'm up nervous, or, you know, as you are when you're young, and it's the first time for things. And I love that peace, though, of God that surpasses all understanding. I hope you found 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 10 through 13 tonight. And if you're able physically, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. Now, God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man that is in him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. We also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. Father, thank you tonight, Lord, as we are able to read your word. God, let it go forth in power tonight and accomplish what it was sent to accomplish, which is what the promise of your word is. Thank you that in full faith we can trust that, because you are trustworthy. You are faithful. Father, I pray tonight, if there's one that does not know you as Lord and Savior, Father, whether it's a person in this building, one online, or one in the coming weeks, months, or years who will watch this message online, God, have your way. May you be magnified, glorified, lifted up. You deserve all of it, Father. And may you be the sole focus of everything said and done. And we ask this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 10 and 11 again. Now, how God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man that is in him? First thing that I want to share with you tonight comes from those two verses, and is this: the depth of God can only be understood by the Spirit of God. As I've told you, you know, in the high school class that Emily and I have been teaching, been talking to them, you know, we're going through apologetics, and this past Sunday we were talking about, I shared some of it in Sunday morning, about The fact that the solar system, if I remember correctly, is, what, 93 billion light years away. Now, I shared in the context of helping someone, I said to them in the class, a couple of them, I said, now listen, if I offered you, somebody had $1 billion and they said, here's $1 billion, the only thing you have to do is count it before you can take possession of it. Would you do that? You know, guy says, because how long do you think it'd take you? Maybe a couple days. And then I began to tell him how long it would take to count 1 billion. It's almost 40 years. That's if you counted one a second. Now you might go, I can count faster than that. Okay, go ahead. But you have to go to the bathroom, you have to sleep, and you have to eat. I'm only giving you about an hour a day maximum, right? To eat and sleep. Well, then guess what? Your count time must increase exponentially. You can't do it. And that's if you start as a brand, that little baby right there starts counting right now, right? Nope, it's not going to happen. You're getting ready to tie up almost 40 years of your life to count 1 billion. So then when you think about 93 billion light years, well, we know the speed of light is 186,000 miles a second. An hour. 186 second. Thank you. Wow. Can you even begin to imagine? No, we can't. That's the thing about it. We cannot. So when you begin with our little tiny brains to even think about the earth alone, not even taking into consideration the magnitude of just our solar system, this is a God that created something that could not exceed Him. Therefore, when I start helping you understand, and as I've myself tried to grasp the magnitude of God, man, He's got it going on. Amen? That God that we say sometimes, well, how can God know when a hair falls off my head and everybody around the world at one time? Just think about what I said a second ago. 93 billion light years in... That's what their guess is. Which means it's bigger than that, you know? God cannot create something that exceeds the magnitude of who He is. He can be everywhere at one time. Let me just tell you. Ready? God is an all-consuming God who is everywhere at one time and understands perfectly. We are limited by the finite, right? What is finite? Well, that means we have a body and a brain that was corrupted by sin. Wisest man that ever would had lived or ever would live was Solomon, right? Remember when the queen of Candace comes and comes, hey, Solomon, I've heard all this stuff about you. Prove me wrong in a sense, okay? I'm just paraphrasing, right? She sits down for this appointed amount of time that she gets with Solomon, and when she leaves, she says, they didn't tell me the half of it. Basically, it was the understatement of my life. The wisdom with which you have, I couldn't even imagine being one of your servants, the honor of being a servant. Again, paraphrasing. Because the incredible wisdom that God had blessed Solomon with blew her mind. And for us, the only understanding of God that we can have is the understanding that God gives us of Him. Now, there's an interesting thing, though. You might say, well, Brother Jonathan, you're talking to... I can tell with the way you're talking, you really mean what you're saying, and you're really passionate about this, but I don't have that understanding, and I don't know why God hadn't given me that. Well, let me just encourage you with something else the Bible says. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. So, you know I'm doing this right now. so that when one of you gets sick or something happens, I can best minister to you and help you? Do I know everything? I never will. But the more that as a shepherd I can learn about the sheep, not only spiritually but physically, the better I can help direct you to get the best treatment, the help that's going to give you the greatest ability to walk in the abundant life that God created you to live. I could sit around and go, well, I just hope. You know, as we're watching the medical field basically go up in ashes all around us, people jump in ship left and right. Well, just hope for the best. See what happens. No, let's do something about it. Let's try to help each other to the greatest good. And you know what? Knowledge is going to help, isn't it? Or we can just sit around and sing Kumbaya and hope for the best. But we know that's not a good thing, is it, huh? Well, God had given me the knowledge about bacterial meningitis when I had it, or I would have died. For sure, graveyard dead, it would have been over. Thank the Lord, he had taught me that in learning back many years ago in medical, that you touch your chin to your chest. When you can't do that, you better be going to see a doctor. You better tell the doctor. I was already in the hospital for a surgery, so I was able to tell the nurse, hey, I've got bacterial meningitis. I knew what I had. That knowledge God used to be an avenue with which things would have turned out quite differently had I not known that. See, this the same way with the depth of God. We don't learn the depth of God apart from His Spirit revealing what God desires us to know. But see, when we seek Him with all our hearts, we have the promise in the Word, He will be found. Do you want a walk with Christ like Elijah and Elisha? Why don't you cry out to God and ask Him for that? Not because of some twisted desire of your own to prove to everybody how smart spiritually you are, because that's not going to be answered, because that's not godly. But if you want nothing more than to get in front of God's throne, literally, and feel like you're in His lap in worship, because why? You desire to fellowship with the One that saved you, that created you, and you want to know His plan, His power, you want to feel His presence. You spend the level of communion and fellowship in prayer and in His Word, and you meditate on Him, and you pray without ceasing, and you delight yourself, and you do what my cousin said so many years ago when I said, Heather, I don't ever know. I've always remembered you as somebody. She said, I've never known a time in my life that I've not been desperate for the Lord. You want that level of walk with Christ? And then get the compromise out and start going bananas, falling in love with Christ, and seek Him with all your heart like the pearl of great price. Forsake everything, turn, follow Him with everything in you. They were talking today about people that don't finish and program Him. Naturally, you know, they're always mentioning this stuff, right? Everybody knows what this is, right? What is this? No, what is this? Facebook. Come on, y'all are slow. Waste time, that's right. But they were talking about all the time that this consumes, that you could spend time learning, and all the focus on things, it takes your focus off of things, and what happens? You don't achieve anything. As a matter of fact, you're going nowhere fast. You're like that little hamster, and he's in your hamster cage, right? His little aquarium or whatever you have, and he's not thinking, man, he is getting it. You watch his little legs, man, he's on fire. He's like, I'm getting it, I'm going, I'm moving, I'm rolling. And then what? And he's gone nowhere fast. So we laugh because we're like, that dummy doesn't even know he's not going anywhere. He's not doing an exercise because he goes, oh, I need to exercise today. No, he thinks he's going somewhere. That's what happens when we get trapped in sin. We're just like that little hamster, running on that wheel as fast as we can. Oh, I'm getting away from God. Woohoo! Good. Boom, boom. We're going nowhere. See, the depth of God's only understood by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God only blesses us to the extent that we seek His face, the Father's. Then verse 12, now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. The second thing I want to share with you comes from that verse, and it is this: followers of Christ should not be led by the spirit of the world. What is the spirit of the world? Well, the spirit of the world is that thing that ministers to self. Self wants, self wills, self desires. By the way, it's the things that have not been sought in prayer. It's the Gibeonite deceptions, those things that we try and, right, we fall in these angels of light. The enemy masquerades as an angel of light. Oh, it's just perfect. I can't believe this is amazing. Look at this blessing. Young people especially, or those that marriages go in the toilet. Oh, this girl, this guy, they're perfect. I can't believe it. What a gift. It's like manna from heaven. The enemy masquerades as an angel of light. Masquerades as something good. And that's what's so scary. Because by the time that we realize that that was merely a deception and a lie, so often greater, more catastrophic damage has occurred in the preceding months or years after this angel of light showed up, and you end up in a much bigger mess than you were when the mess started. But see, the spirit of the world convinces us that the spirit of darkness is a spirit of light. And only by the Spirit of God and walking in light, walking in truth, when your pastor, you sit down and say, well, Brother Jonathan, this is what I think about this. And I go, that's weird. I wonder why you hadn't said nothing about this before. Well, I just wanted to keep it quiet, and I've just wanted to blah, blah, blah. And I say, well, wait a second. Why don't you slow down? Why don't you back up a little bit? What's the rush? Oh, I don't want to rush. It's wonderful. I think it's great. And just stop. Stop. Just stop and back up. By the way, if you ever hear me tell you that I've got an uneasy feeling about something, let's pray about this, I would encourage you to do something. And I mean this. And I don't even know about a specific situation to even speak to right now. So if any of you got something you want to talk about, let me just tell you this beforehand. If I say, why don't we just step back, let's pray about it, and let God give everybody a peace about it. Because if this is of God, He will affirm if this is His will, but if it's not of His, He'll bring that to light too. Church, the sad part is more often than not, people go and do what they want to do. And I tell people when they do that, I say, listen, you can go do what you want to do. I'm not your dad. I'm not your parent. I'm not the one that tells you what you can do and not do. That's between you and the Lord. When the card in the house comes crashing down, I'll be here to minister to you. And by the way, I'm not going to say, I told you so, and boy, you know how many times I want to say that. You think I'm lying? I'm not even kidding. I, again, revert back to what I talked about Sunday night. I want to be a three-year-old kid. I told you! Wrong with you! Wouldn't listen to me, would you? I'll be honest, that's what I want to say when that happens. But I won't do it. And by God's grace, I never will. Because I'm not that person. I'm the person that realizes it's only by God's grace and my yielding to the Spirit would I not be that same person, making that same terrible decision, deciding to do what I want to do as opposed to what God wants me to do. But see, when you seek His face and you ask Him about what you want to do or what you think you should do, guess what He will do? He'll lead you. You know, young people, say, you know, oh, well, what happens if I, you know, what happens if the right person comes along and I'm not really, you know, looking? I mean, what happens if I miss them? Let me promise you something. If God wants you to have somebody, you're not going to be able to get away from them if it's God's person. I'm not joking. You can look at them and say, I wouldn't get near, I wouldn't marry them for $1 million. If it's God's person, God's going to set that hook and it's going to be over. But I tell you what you won't have to do. You won't have to compromise to do it. You're going to be able to say to that person, if it's God's person, listen, I want to make sure that you're what God wants and desires for me. And we're going to spend a time, we're going to devote a month, 2 months, whatever, to praying about God's will. Maybe we're not going to see, maybe we're going to go two different churches, whatever it might be. We want to pray, because if it's God's will, we're going to pray that God would affirm this, and there'll be no denying that it's God's will. We want God's will. You think that God's going to let one slip away because you wanted to make sure that you discerned God's will properly? Huh? Go on, tell me. If any of you say, well, I think he would let one slip away, then you don't know God and you're mischaracterizing him. You know what God would see? God would honor what you did so much so that you'd have that one in a million relationship that happens these days. That so many people, when they see one of those, goes, man, I would love to have a relationship like that. Yeah, but you wouldn't sit back and wait on God to allow the relationship to get to that place in the first place. Scared to death that something's going to get away. Scared to death that the spouse is going to slip through the net. I'm going to die an old maid one day, right? Or an old bachelor, because if I don't compromise now, I'm going to die alone. I'll tell you one thing. I'd rather die alone than die miserable. Amen? That's what I'm talking about. You don't even know the people that I've sat in front of, even this week alone, said I wouldn't get married again for nothing. I ain't got nothing but wretched, wretched people. Who wants to say that? Who wants to have to say to me, hey, if you ever have anybody that desires to go out and run off, you just let me sit down in front of them and tell them what it's like to live in pure misery. You know what I had to say to the person? You know what? I will do that when I have people that want to hear that. But I said, I'll be honest with you. People don't want to hear that. When they're in that place, they're in love, right? They got that love. They're just in love. Uh-huh. They don't want to hear none of that truth. Very rarely do you get that. It's wonderful in the times that I get people who will listen to that. The church, we're in a day and time where people don't want to hear that. Because that's not what they want to hear. We are real good at making up what we want to hear in our minds and then setting our course based on that. And then what we do is we say, well, it's always good to have the preacher, because if the preacher tells me it's good, I mean, everything's looking good to me, he's going to say that. So let's go see what preacher says. So they sit down, hey, preacher, what do you think? And I go, oh, something stinks. Something stinks about this situation. It's not, I don't know, but, by the way, I just won't say that. There's going to be indicators, right? Anybody know what indicators are? It's when you're a police officer, somebody's probable cause to pull somebody over. Probable cause what? That this, a crime is about to or will be committed, right? You've got all of these indicators that give you the probable cause or reasonable suspicion. Same with sitting down with people. You got indicators. Some people call them red flags. You know what red flags are? Red flags say, something ain't right. That's the only reason I'll ever say something. I'll say, there's some red flags amiss. But sometimes followers of Christ get led by the spirit of the world. They fall victim to it. And that's why it's very important in tonight's message is the Spirit speak. Spirit speak is when the Spirit speaks, there's cohesion, there's peace. There is no confusion, there's no fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. So see, when it's of God, it don't stink. Something doesn't stink. The situation doesn't smell bad. There's not red flags when it's of God, because there's a spirit of peace. And that's what you and I should want to dwell within, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. There's joy. There's hope. And all of those things that I pray is your heart's passion and desire. And then verse 13, and we finish up. We also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. Third and final thing tonight I want to share is this. Seek the spiritual growth in the Lord, not in human wisdom. Seek the spiritual growth in the Lord, not in human wisdom. You might, there's people there, we've got some very intelligent people here. We do. I'm not just saying that. We've got some intelligent people here. And I'll be just going to tell you, and I'm not one of them. I'm just an average person. That's about it. Intelligent people are dangerous to themselves. You know why? Because human wisdom tends to interpret, explain, and convince one of this heady, kind of heady wisdom that we have when you're intelligent. Intelligence will hurt you big time. Intelligence, human intelligence, can lead you astray big time. But we know what the Bible says. Wisdom is foolishness to those who are perishing. So for the world, we take about the wisdom of God and see, it's nothing to them. We got to be very careful. You know what the scripture even says in Proverbs? Do not be overwise. These things that the Bible's talking about, we also speak these things not in words. Just talking about when God has given us, freely given us his wisdom, we should freely give that, share that wisdom with the world. But ready, because this is kind of a qualifier, a warning. Not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. I would hope that you wouldn't go out to somebody who is literally lost is lost and go in there and explain the Trinitarian nature of God and the comforting role of the Spirit in the believer in interceding for us with groans that cannot be understood to a person that is deader than four ways from Sunday. What are you doing? Casting pearls of swine if you do that. Bible says that. They'll turn around and devour you with it. That is spiritual things in that last sentence, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. But all these things that we're talking about are not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit. What does the Spirit do? The Spirit teaches us. The Spirit of God affirms to our hearts as we're in his word, as we're in prayer. You think that you have to be some Rhodes scholar. You have to be a Mensa level genius to be able to share the deep truths of Scripture. No, you do not. You can be dumber than a box of hammers. But if you're bananas and in love for Jesus, the Spirit of God can have you speak as eloquently, if it's his desire, as Paul, as Peter, as John. And any other numbers, as Stephen in front of Sanhedrin. Because the truth of God is affirmed by the Spirit of God, and it's the flow of God's Spirit pouring out of us the truth that is only given by him. In a sense, stay spiritually ignorant. Does that mean you don't study? No. You stay in God's word and recognize, God, I will never be able to understand. I'll never know the deep truths of you. God, I'm digging in your word. I'm studying your word. I'm reading your word. I'm crying out to you in prayer. But God, I'm going to stay a fool to myself so that your power and your wisdom might be poured on me and you get all the glory for it. Because God, I know that you humble the exalted, but exalt the humble. And God, I know this without the prayers of brothers and sisters in Christ, even myself, would be nothing but a flaming wreckage. Seek the spiritual growth in the Lord, not in human wisdom. Tonight, what does Spirit speak in your life? Does the Spirit speak in your life? Would you know the voice of God tonight if He spoke to you? Do you meditate on the Lord? Do you delight yourself in the Lord? Do you find that your life is full of nothing but compromise tonight? You wouldn't know tonight spiritually what to do if the Spirit of God poured out wisdom in your heart or life. More than you'd know what to do if somebody dropped off one of those supercomputers at your house and said, have at it. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He gives you desire of your heart. So many people interpret that as, you know, I'm going to start reading my Bible and praying because, you know, I want a new car. I want a better job. And if I start praying and I start reading my Bible, you know, God's going to give me a better job, and He's going to give me money, and you know, young people, God's going to give me a great spouse one day that's just going to just love me like nothing else, because, you know, God's nothing about just sitting there waiting on what I want, and He's going to give it. No. Delighting yourself in the Lord, and the return of that, Him giving you desires of your heart, when you delight yourself in the Lord, He gives you what your heart's desire is, which you have delighted yourself in Him. He gives you more of Him. It has nothing to do with monetary, health, wealth. It doesn't have anything to do with any of that. See, we've been crucified with Christ. We no longer live, but Christ lives in us. So when we have laid down our lives, when we delight ourselves in Him, what we are doing is saying, Lord, I want the wisdom of Solomon, the patience of Job. I want to walk in the Spirit like Elijah and Elisha. God, I want more of you. I want to be the husband, want to be the friend, want to be the neighbor, want to be the pastor, want to be the Sunday school teacher, want to be the church member that God wants you to do. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. When you ultimately sit here and think about it, life is fleeting. Fleeting, it's fleeting, it's fleeting. Doesn't matter if you're in the cradle or you're one step from the grave. This world, the Bible says, it is a vapor. That's why I believe the Lord says, teach us to number our days so that we might gain a heart of wisdom. That is one thing, and I know some of you guys probably get like, man, I wish this guy would quit talking about how short life is. Well, because the Bible does that so much, I think it's very important that we are understanding of the shortness, the brevity of life. It's very important. Because I will just promise you, my life has been like a smokescreen of time just gone out the door. And I know as short as what's happened, the rest of it's going to be a whole lot shorter than the first part. So therefore, I think it's very wise for us when the Scripture says, teach us to number our days, that all of us, right, would learn to number our days so that what? God would give us a heart of wisdom in how to be faithful and how to be prudent in handling the short period of time that all of us have before we dive off into eternity. What are we going to clamor? You know, if I'm my age and I'm clamoring for a bunch of money with some high-paying job somewhere, all for what? To destroy my kids? Are we a fool? What are you doing? But people do it every day. People do it every day. I was in a house in the last month of somebody that a year ago they had no idea that they'd be gone, and they're gone. The person wasn't a churchgoer. They had no idea that they'd be gone in a few short months. And it's not been lost on me as I have wandered through the life of this person and sat there and thought, you know, it's just like me or anybody else. We can think we're doing what we want to do and we are doing whatever we think that is important. But if you're not investing in the things of the Lord, I want to tell you what you're doing. You're blowing yourself a smokescreen. Because the only things that are going to outlive us are things that we do for Christ. And if you don't know what spirit speak is tonight, I would encourage you to get on your face before God or get down this altar tonight and pray that God would reveal the condition of your heart tonight. Because I just want you to know, these people are dropping left and right everywhere. It doesn't matter. You just think COVID, people are dropping from everything everywhere. It is not a day that goes by that I don't hear of somebody who's either got cancer, sick with cancer, got strokes, blood clots. I mean, you name it, man. Literally, it's like they have done a special at the funeral home and people can't get in it quick enough. Doesn't matter the ages. It reminds me, this is not my home. And I hope tonight you realize it's not yours either. I hope tonight that dash, you're making the most of it, that you know what spirit speak is, and if you don't know tonight, that you don't leave here tonight before doing everything in your power to reconnect, to connect, to do whatever it is you need to do with the Father. And let me just assure you of one thing tonight. It's only done through Jesus Christ, because there is only one mediator. There is only one Lord. There is only one gate, and that's Jesus. Don't play church. Don't play religion. Don't think that it's all going to work out. We all have that tendency sometimes, right, as procrastinators. We just sometimes think it's not going to work out okay. Your eternity today and the things that change today are the things that you purposely think, meditate, and act on right now. Tomorrow morning, nothing changes if right now what needs changed isn't dealt with. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.